Thank you for listening to the Heart as Art podcast, available on heartasart.com, on Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We bring you the latest from the worlds of professional wrestling, video gaming, and anything else that you would find on the floor of a comic or anime convention. Stay tuned to heartasart.com for updates on podcasts, interviews, and more. Thanks for listening. All right, we're back here with Danielle De Nicola. How are you today?
Hello, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So thank you for taking the time today. Just chat about all things cosplay, gaming, and more.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'd love to yap, so.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of start at the beginning then. Every cosplayer has a level one, a starting level of how they got into this hobby. What is your origin story?
Totally. My origin story is that I went to school to do creative advertising. So I
Nice.
was supposed to be working at an ad agency, like storyboarding commercials and doing stuff like that, like pitches and stuff. I was working in social media and, I started cosplaying because I was always a gamer and I always played games my whole life. And in college, I played League of Legends on a all-girls League of Legends team.
Oh, that's
And
awesome.
my friend who was bot lane with me always wanted me to cosplay with her, and I was always too shy. Although I did go to cons all the time, I never wanted to dress up out of just being terrified. It always seemed fun and I was always interested in it. But it wasn't until she made me a costume from Dragon Ball Z, which
Oh,
she knew that I
awesome.
would love and not be able to say no to. And she made herself one to match. We did the launches from Dragon Ball Z, like the one of us was the blonde one and one of us was the blue-haired one.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And it was so much fun, and the Dragon Ball Z fandom is so sweet and awesome that I was like, what if I make Android 18 then? And then from there I was like, what if I make all of the League of Legends characters then? And then it just simply never stopped, ever. And it's been 11 years since then, so.
Have you ever, just speaking of Dragon Ball Z, do you know, have you heard of the anime cover band Spirit Bomb?
That sounds really familiar, but not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'll j check them out when you get a chance. Obviously, hence the name, they're huge DBZ, and they do a cover of Rock the Dragon that is, yeah, it'll get the party going. It's heavy.
Okay, awesome.
So was there, and you talked about Dragon Ball Z and League of Legends, but was there a character, like a first character, that made you say, man, I would love to recreate this?
That would be Thresh from League. That was like one of my mains. I was a support main, and I loved Thresh, and I loved whenever I would make anything, I realized that I wanted it to kind of be gritty and dark and kind of battle damaged. I didn't really like to do anything like pristine and beautiful. I kind of wanted the like depth and character of it being kind of dirty.
Been through some
So
stuff.
yeah, and also I really loved when I first started gender bending different characters. So getting to put my own original spin on things, like Thresh being obviously like a skeleton humanoid, and then me getting to recreate a lot of the things that I loved about his design, which was like the lantern and the hook and the crazy skeleton headpiece and stuff like that. And then translating it and getting to use like the originality and creativity to turn it into what it would be like on me. Like I really loved the marriage of those two things. Plus, I loved his aesthetic, so.
And he has that, like you're saying, that gritty battle damage, like
Yeah.
has been dragged through the mud literally and
Yeah.
figuratively. Like, it
Exactly.
totally fits that aesthetic.
I love like a tattered cape, like putting together a whole piece and then getting to take it outside and just grab scissors and run through that bad boy. It's just so much fun.
Have you ever like I see people with like Mandalorian capes and they've like burned the edges of it and I'm like, that's such a cool way to weather.
Love to burn the edges of everything. It also does a really cool sewing trick when you burn the edges of it, where it won't fray anymore.
Oh
So
yeah,
it's multi-purposed.
it kind of like cauterizes it almost, so like it won't catch, it won't fray.
Exactly.
So speaking of all of that, and being a cosplayer, you can become a jack of all trades: sewing, foam smithing, 3D printing, finishing, painting. There, have you picked up a lot of trades throughout the 11 years?
Oh my God. Yeah, I feel like I say this so much so often that my Twitch stream is probably sick of it. I have my own podcast that I say it all the time on. But cosplayers really are wearing so many hats. They're an entire production team by themselves.
So
And a
true.
lot of cosplayers talk about how you watch a movie, and at the end, when you see all the credits roll, there's so many names, right? There's the makeup, there's the hair, the casting, there's the set design, there's the costume team, not just one person, but the whole team, and the everything, right? The
You're
actors themselves, and
scouting locations to shoot. You're
Director of photography, all of the PA assisting, setting up all of the schedules and booking yourself for things and keeping all of that stuff straight. And so all of social media, not to mention all of social media. It's so many things, so much work, so many things. I feel like no matter how many times I try to list it off, I will always forget something, but you truly are doing the job of an entire production team. You are researching the character. You are physically crafting and creating the costume. You are sourcing materials. You are doing your own makeup. You're figuring out how to do makeup in different styles. You're doing your own hair, your own wigs. You're posing. Sometimes you're taking your own photos, your own content, posting your own content, knowing how to post your own content. You're your own agent. You're booking yourself for cons. You're going to the cons. It's just,
You're networking, you're
yeah, exactly. I'll never get it all because there's just so much,
No,
but
it's like you said, it's the work of a team. One person's doing the work of an entire production team.
right,
So,
exactly.
and it's funny, like you said, you don't love things looking pristine. That's a whole nother skill set, is learning how to make something look like it's beat to hell.
Absolutely. And a lot of the like crafting even has its own subcategories because I just said making the costume, but making the costume has so many different subsections as well. There's armor, warbler, there's foam, there's sewing, there's sculpting, there's painting, there's airbrushing, there's attaching it to your body. It's like a whole spectrum of specialties, so
Finding
a lot
ways
of work.
to attach armor to your clothes and to yourself is a whole that yeah, that's a whole thing.
It's a whole day's work too, if not more, to make sure that everything is rigged correctly, depending on how heavy things are.
Yeah, the last thing you want is it breaking off in the middle of a photo shoot or on the con floor when there's 5, 10,000 people surrounding you.
Yeah, and people bumping into you, especially in the con floor.
Always carry super glue, right?
Absolutely.
So, speaking of all of that, and hopefully we didn't just terrify anybody who wants to get into this with all of that, but 11 years ago, if you could give yourself a piece of advice or a piece of advice to anyone that's trying to start into this hobby, what would it be?
My number one piece of advice would be to learn how to edit video right now, specifically. If I could go tell myself 11 years ago something to do, it would be to learn video editing for sure. I come from a photography background. So when I first started cosplay, it was really easy for me to grow because the meta was pretty photos, pretty polished photos, and that was something that I already knew how to do before I did cosplay. So applying it to cosplay, and then my degree was in social media. I kind of had all of these tools already at my disposal to set myself up for success. But what I didn't anticipate was the complete shift into what social media culture is today, which is less pretty polished, perfect, unattainable, and now more authentic, real, attainable, almost like talking to your friends on FaceTime type content. And I would have loved to start that skill back then to be able to apply it to how things have shifted now.
That's a really good point. And like even in what I do in more of like a journalistic podcasting type of like everything is video content now. Like if I post a traditional article, I have to have a video in it or it's not going to get looked at. It's just it's crazy how things have changed. So at least you had that social media background to like you had a lot. I mean, God, when I started this and I've had a lot of people help me with how the algorithms work and stuff. I was clueless 3 or 4 years ago when I started this. So yeah, you definitely had a leg up with that.
Very grateful for that. Absolutely.
So in scrolling through your looking through your body of work, you've done quite a few horror video game cosplays. You've hit Dead Space, you've hit Resident Evil. We're like a week out of Halloween. Is that a big genre for you, the horror, the survival horror?
It's funny because it is and it isn't. I'm a huge baby and I'm so terrified so easily. But that aesthetic that like I was talking about earlier, the gritty, the dark, the nasty,
The beat to hell, the
there's so much depth and character and life in that that I love that aesthetic as a whole. I think it's so much fun to play with, and it's something that I really appreciate in art. So, all of those things I love the aesthetic of. When I was playing Dead Space, actually, I streamed it on Twitch, and I kept stopping and zooming in to like the costume and the stuff on the walls and the different like bits and pieces of the ship. That was really cool. I always say that I love a horror game where I can shoot back at the enemy. That is my bread and butter. I love Resident Evil to death. I love Dead Space to death. Anything that I get a weapon in, I'm totally solid. But if the game is like Amnesia or Alien Isolation or Mortuary Assistant or something where I just have to run and hide, I am not playing that. I
You
don't
need
last very long.
something to defend yourself.
I need a gun. Even if I only get one bullet every couple of minutes, at least give me a gun.
So you can make
It's
it
better for
work.
me.
You can make it work. Like even if it's one bullet every few minutes, that's one less zombie running at you.
And it's about the feeling of at least having something on me, you know?
And I don't know how well you can see, but like, I've got Resident Evil posters up behind me and talking about like the grittiness and all, like that's one thing I love about the last couple of remakes and even the last couple of main lines that came out is like if you're playing the remake of two, as either if you're playing as either Claire or Leon, the further you get into the game, the more beat up their clothes are and like the more scarred up their bodies are. Like it's just that gritty, they've been, they're literally watching the world end in front of them.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And the characters are so good. I love Resident Evil. It's one of my favorite franchises.
Are you excited for Requiem to come out
I
for now?
am, well, I am and I'm not because the Resident Evil game that stressed me out the most by far is where is 2 when Mr. X is chasing you the entire time. I hate it. I hate it. It's right on the cusp of, like maybe this is unplayable for me. And then everything I've seen about Requiem coming out is saying that it's going to be just like that, if not worse. It's all Mr. X coded. This lady's going to be crawling around in the vents, chasing you the entire time. And that stresses me out a lot. I will still play it no matter what, but that's rough.
That's gonna stress you out a little.
It stresses me out a lot.
Oh, that's
A
great.
lot.
It's gonna be good Twitch streams then, right? Like you
Right.
just running
Yes, of
around.
course. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Embarrassing, but worth it. Yeah.
Did you play 7 and 8, the Village and Biohazard? I've played a lot of Resident Evil games. Nothing has mentally stressed me more than in Village, and you probably know the part I'm going to talk about
Oh,
is,
yeah, you're gonna say the dollhouse. Yeah, it freaked me out so bad.
I should
Do
not admit this on a podcast, but whatever, here we are.
it.
I had to, so I'm in the dollhouse and I'm got through the first part, and then when you start getting chased, like you just said with Mr. X, I heard the crying, and I don't know, it was later, it was 5, 6 o'clock, and it was that time of year when it gets dark at 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
And
terrible.
I heard the crying and I went, I don't like this. I got to about 30 seconds through, like when it actually starts chasing you, and I shut the Xbox off. And I took it upstairs to, I had like, it used to be in my mom's kitchen years ago. It's like, I'm not even exact, like a 12-inch television. Like you have to squint your eyes to see what's going on. And that's how I played through the rest of that part because it destroyed me.
It's so true, though. I was stressed out the entire time. I was freaking out. The part two, did you play the DLC of it? Bro. Oh, there's nothing I hate more than a mannequin. Nothing I hate more than a mannequin.
And I remember going, famous last words, going back to there. I was like, it cannot be worse than what they did in the main game. There's no
Yeah.
way they could think of something worse. And then I opened up that door and the glow in the dark eyes, and oh God. I made it through that, but I died of quite a few times in that part. And that was like one of the worst, like Resident Evil deaths I have ever played through. Like it was so
Yeah.
terrible.
It was horrifying. It really was. I don't think I've been more stressed out in a Resident Evil game than that, to be honest with
And it was
you.
a great game, but I cannot replay that part. It's too traumatizing.
No, once is good. Once is enough.
More than enough. So, with that all being said, on hopefully a happier note, what were some gaming franchises that stuck with you early on in your gaming career?
Halo was number one, I would say. That was a big one for me. My parents, my dad specifically, wanted to be the cool house in the cul-de-sac desperately and was very good at it. So he would get the new consoles that came out every time there was a new console, and he actually got two of the original Xboxes
Really?
and bought the gigantic lime green Ethernet cable that
Ha.
connects the Xboxes together and hold tournaments in the house. But he got two specifically so that nobody could look on his screen. He was very serious about it.
That's
So
amazing.
that's like one of my earliest memories, I'd say. A lot of Halo, and then from there, I mean, all of the PlayStation 2 Dreamcast classics. And then I got really into World of Warcraft, so all consuming until League of Legends came out. Then that was all consuming, but those are
Did
my
you?
touchstones. Halo. Wow.
Those are good touchstones though. Those are like classic. Like I grew up playing those too. Like I actually, it's right next to me. It'll show up on camera one day, but I've got the original Xbox Halo edition that came with like the Game of the Year.
Oh, did it?
We were always a PlayStation house, and then our neighbor across the street, he's a big PC guy, and so naturally when the Xbox came out, he got that. And so my dad was like, "Ah, whatever," like goes over to the neighbor's house and plays Halo for like half an hour. And the next day he's like, "All right, get in the car, we're going to buy an Xbox." You don't gotta twist my arm too hard here, Dad.
I know. It was such a good game. It still holds a special place in my heart, I'd say. And since I mean, ever since then I only got Xboxes too, and every roommate I've ever had only had PlayStations.
Oh, really?
So we were always like the house was always stacked because I always brought an Xbox and everyone I lived with had a PlayStation.
That's a good way to do it, though. Then you don't have to
I
buy
know.
both.
Put it in the application.
Yeah, roommate app,
Looking for roommate
PlayStation.
with PlayStation.
Xbox need not apply. Already covered.
Yeah, exactly.
For my like, and I was for my money, Halo 3 is like the most complete game ever. Great campaign, great online, Forge custom games. Like the amount of hours on Xbox Live my friends and I dumped into that in middle school and high school is
Same.
ridiculous. Yeah, it's like everybody in that came up in that era, that's like a go-to for them.
Yeah, three was the one I played the most too.
Oh, same. So, what's currently in your gaming rotation? Other, I'm assuming still a lot of League.
Not really anymore,
Really?
actually. I simply don't have time to be that angry.
You know what? That's fair.
I still play ARAMs every now and then with my friends, but right now I'm playing Expedition 33. I've been playing it for ever because I have been playing it only on stream.
Okay.
So I'm only gaming once or twice a week for a couple of hours. So it's taking me a long time to get through it, but God, it's such a good game. Heart-wrenching.
How far are you?
I
And
just finished Act One. It was the last thing that I did, and I was like, I simply have to go. I can't continue playing this right now. I'm too sad.
I have had conversations with cosplayers, voice actors, just fans about for since that game came out, at cons and podcasts and whatever. I have not had a game emotionally wreck me that bad since the first Last of Us. And I'm guessing you have no like I hope for your sake, no spoilers. You don't know where this is going, right?
The only spoiler that I had was what happened the last time I played.
Oh, okay.
I
So
knew that that was going to happen, not so much as a spoiler, but as something that I sort of figured out.
yeah, you kind of put it together.
Yeah, there was a couple clues, I'd say. And I was kind of just waiting for it. I didn't have confirmation, but I kind of knew. And
Yeah.
then when it did happen, I was like, wow, I still wasn't prepared, even though I knew in my heart that was going to happen. But other than that, no clue. So, blind.
That is the best way to play that game, and honestly, taking it at the slow pace you're doing is probably the best way to like I blew through that because I got hooked onto the story. But that game is just so the world is just so beautiful, like so well made. Let me know when you get to the end and what you think, because I had to go sit in a room for like 2 days and process what the hell I just, yeah. Buckle up is all I'll say.
What? Oh, buckle up.
Oh yeah.
Good. Good. Because the last thing that I played was the last thing that happened was we got a new companion.
Yep.
And he was like, that guy's just doing it because he doesn't want to, because he wants to be alive forever. And I was telling my Twitch chat, there's no way that it's that deep. Like, it has to be much deeper than that. That's the most shallow thing that this man could ever say is the reason. That simply can't be the point of this. So. I was hoping, I'm like there I was hoping that there's more to the story, so
Put a seatbelt on because it's it.
Okay.
I
I'm
yeah.
excited.
I will try to catch parts of your stream just to, especially as you get towards the end of Act Two. It Just get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'll say. I haven't had a game emotionally toy with me since the first Last of Us to that level.
Yeah.
And that's
I agree so far, and
so
I'm not even
far.
done.
Yeah, just get ready. And for my money, one of the most just beautifully drawn games in the last few years.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
The music and everything all
Oh.
together too. It pierces you in a way you're not expecting the entire time you're playing. It's crazy.
That is one game I really hope. Like, right, so I'm a big Metal Gear Solid fan, and right now they're touring like the orchestra doing the soundtrack of the game, and that is one I hope X33 does down the road because it's such a good score.
They have to. I can only imagine.
It's just such a good score.
Yeah,
So,
definitely.
and so the you know, kind of right, the way we originally connected was through conventions and how much fun that circuit can be, and obviously voice actors are always a big part of a convention. You yourself are working as a voice actor, so how did that journey start? Because that is such a unique combination of you've got cosplay, you've got your social media background, and then you throw voice acting into it.
I think so. When I was really, really young, I had tried to do a bit of modeling acting as a kid, and there were things that happened that turned me off to it almost immediately. I did like a couple runways, and everyone was horrible. The whole industry is full of really terrible people. Not to say that there aren't great people, because I think it just depends on who you meet. But I specifically came into contact with a lot of really terrible people kind of immediately, and a lot of pitting ourselves against our friends that I had a big issue with. I also just had a ton of social and general anxiety about being on camera, which I still have to this day. Being at my computer is different. Streaming is different because I kind of am in control of everything. But being recorded still gives, like, if someone has a camera and they're holding it and they're pointing it at me, I get really camera shy. So, voice acting, I kind of had a crisis, if you will, like an existential crisis about social media and having my whole entire job and brand be what I look like. And understanding that while I don't think an expiration date is coming anytime soon, it will eventually. And that concept really stressed me out about not really having a plan for the future. So I was talking to a friend. They had been in theater their entire life, and they really wanted to start doing voice acting. It was something that was really a goal of theirs. And I kind of had a moment where they were talking about it that the ins like I felt really, really inspired, because it was something that I had a lot of fun with as a kid when it was a potential, but I never thought about voice acting as being a possibility, I guess. It was kind of like, you want to do acting or do you not want to do acting? And I never realized voice acting was really a possibility until we had that conversation. Shout out to Hello, I Am Kate. They're an amazing YouTuber, cosplayer, and now voice actor as well. But they put me onto a couple classes. I just remember turning to them as they were talking about it and saying, I really want to do that with you, if that's okay with you. I don't want to infringe on your dream, but that sounds like something that would be so exciting and kind of perfect for me, because it's a world that I want to be in, but I don't want to be on camera. And Kate was like, yeah, take all my resources. So
Oh, that's awesome.
very, very awesome. Like, the cosplay community that I have around me, I'm lucky to have such great people, but gave me the classes that they had signed up for. I took them as well, and then ever since then, I took one class and got so obsessed with it that I poured an entire year now's worth of I don't know, dedication, passion, if you will. Hit the ground running in a way, in an obsessive way. So, took, I want to say in the past year, 20-ish like workshops and classes. And then on top of that, did over 50. I just counted. This is why I have all these stats offhand, because I just counted, because I just posted my first character reel on Instagram. And
Oh,
I,
congrats.
thank you. I like, it's the first time I shared anything publicly about voice acting, because I was so scared of sharing to my audience and it being terrible. So, and embarrassing myself. So I have all these stats at the top of my head, but I've done like 50 plus one-on-one coaching sessions on top of all those workshops, just trying to get as good as possible, as fast as possible, because I wasn't expecting to love it as much as I did. And now I really enjoy it. So I am working on that as much as I can, as much as time allows right
Sure.
now, on top of everything else I'm doing. But really trying to audition as much as possible for indie games and stuff like that. There's a couple that I am in that are releasing, supposed to be releasing in September, but got pushed to next year. And I am the voice of an audiobook
Oh, cool.
soon. Thanks. And a bunch of audio dramas, like podcasts and stuff like that. So putting the work in,
Doing
but
the legwork.
exactly.
Were there any, and I know this kind of came as like a down the road thing, but looking back on it now that you're full-fledged into the voice acting, were there like some characters that you had from like early games or animes or movies that like you really now have a newfound respect for or really kind of want to model after?
Oh yeah. I think, well, I have such an immense respect for Laura Bailey specifically. I know you brought up Last of Us, but Laura Bailey is incredible, and everything that she does is insane. So, I mean, the entire cast of Last of Us, I think, is amazing. There's an element, I have a deeper natural speaking voice, so any character like Bubbles or anything that Tara Strong does, I don't understand, because I don't, my voice doesn't go that high. But I've been learning how to do like the Ash Ketchum young boy voice, and that has been really fun, and that I'm excited about doing, because it's kind of like a party trick, if you will.
Totally. It's a great that that's a, like a sort of like a party trick. That's a great thing for like conventions or for just anywhere where there's a room full of people that know what that is. And so you've alluded to your Twitch stream a couple of times. What can fans expect other than maybe some heart-wrenching from Expedition 33? What
So
can
much of
fans
it.
so much. What can fans expect from your Twitch stream?
From my Twitch stream, we play a lot of RPG story style games. We played through all of Mass Effect, all of BioShock, all of Last of Us 1 and 2. I love playing through something from start to finish, so I don't play it off stream. I only play it on stream. We play it together, we progress together, we laugh and cry together. It's really fun. I always loved watching my brother play games and vice versa, handing the controller back and forth, and I think it has that sense of community. Now, when I play games not on stream, I want the reaction of having other people there with me, and I don't get it. It's not the same. But I usually hang out for the first hour and a half. Everyone talks about their life updates, what we're all doing. what I'm doing, anything exciting, and then from there we play games for about 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there's a heart rate monitor, there's sound alerts that can scare me, there's lots of ways to mess with me because I think Twitch, especially when we play stuff like Resident Evil, wants to see me fail. It's part
That's
of
a good point.
the
I love that you have a heart rate monitor. I can only imagine playing Resident Evil or Dead Space. Like, you get your it's better than taking a mile walk outside. It'll burn some cardio for you.
Holy shit, yeah.
Like, I'm
That's
just
crazy.
I'm trying to remember how fast my heart went when I had to shut my Xbox off in Village. Yeah, I probably ran a 5K in that 5 minutes. Just
It's terrifying. And there's I look back on the clips too now, and I'm like, what were we doing? Why do I put myself through this?
That's such a cool interactive feature, though. They fans can see firsthand literally how scared you are.
Definitely. Yeah. And sometimes I'll be like locked in and it'll stay around 80 or so, and I'll be crushing it and I'll be headshotting things and it'll be great. And then some days I get on and I'm so terrified. I'm up at 120,
Oh my
130, like
God.
screaming, yelling. But you can customize the heart rate monitor too, so it'll change colors and there's sound alerts so people can jump scare me and stuff. So it's fun and it's interactive.
I'm just picturing the like you play through Resident Evil and it's like the green is fine, the yellow is caught. Like, I'm just picturing that
Yeah.
on screen as you're
It's
getting
exactly right. Yeah.
terrified by like, oh shit, a licker just jumped through the window. So we originally connected just, over conventions and, as someone who does a lot of shows, what are some of your favorite parts of attending shows?
Oh gosh. My favorite, by far, my favorite part of attending shows is getting to talk to people one-on-one because I have a lot of work that I have to do alone. Whether it's answering emails, editing, lots of editing, so much editing, posting, making cosplays for weeks, sometimes setting up photo shoots, all of that stuff is all stuff that you do solo, and it gets very isolating. And I think the part about cosplay that I loved from the very beginning when I first went to a convention in costume was the community. And so without going to cons, I lose my sense of connection sometimes. I kind of feel like I'm just throwing stuff at the wall over and over again by posting, and I see comments and I respond to comments, but it's different when you are face to face with people having a conversation because it's really easy to get lost in the numbers. If I post a costume that doesn't do very well compared to my normal content, I think the costume's bad, but then somebody will come to me at a convention at my booth and say, "I loved that one costume that you did." And my whole view on it is changed now because even though it didn't perform well, it's still something that people enjoyed. I just wasn't connecting the dots until I got that in-person conversation. So I think that it's really valuable to kind of bring you back down to reality and not pay so much attention to online, the numbers game of it all, and the disconnection, I'd say.
And you probably know this better than anybody because you came from a social media marketing background, is like the algorithm can change like that. And it's like it might just be the day you posted something changed on the back end, and that's the only reason why it didn't perform the way something else would have performed. So yeah, that's a great mindset, is like getting that face-to-face interaction and chatting and networking. And like I always say with cons too, like How many other chances do you have to be in a room with like 5 to 10,000 people that love all the same stuff you do? Like,
Totally.
it's so easy to just start a conversation. Someone's got a shirt from a franchise you like, or a cosplay, or you're at a panel for something. Like, it's just so easy to find a community in that way.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of us, I know that it's becoming more mainstream now, but a lot of us came from a generation where none of this stuff was cool.
At all.
Everybody was weird. Everybody was bullied. So to wear the stuff that you like, whether it's a cosplay or just a t-shirt, and have somebody say, "Oh my God, I love your shirt." It's exciting because now you're getting to be amongst your people and you get that sense of community and sense of belonging that you didn't grow up with, most likely. And I think that it's beautiful. One of my favorite things at a booth is to just people watch when I'm at cons and just see how much fun everybody's having because it makes me feel, it fills my cup up, if you will.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's and that's a good point you bring up. Like the whole Pokemon craze right now is mind blowing to me. I'm like, remember when people used to get made fun of for like having a binder full of TCG cards, and then like Pokemon Go came out, and for like 2 weeks, everybody loved Pokemon.
That's the closest we've ever been to world peace.
It truly is. That's in whatever year it was, 2015, 2016, I don't remember. But yeah, that 2 weeks when everybody, the only reason we had to argue is if you were Valor or Mystic or Instinct, it was a beautiful 2 weeks.
Honestly, it's true.
So, well, with all that being said, where can everybody keep up with all of your, you've got a lot of different things going. Where can people watch you get the shit scared out of you on Twitch, or be emotionally devastated by RPGs?
All the time. Twitch, most all my social media is just my first and last name. It's
Easy to
Danielle
remember.
DiNicola. Danielle, DaNielle, DiNicola is DeNicola. My Twitter is Danielle DiNicola without the first E in DiNicola because my name is too long. And
I know that feeling.
Facebook, yeah, it's terrible. Facebook is Danielle DiNicola Official. But all my voice acting stuff is on DanielleDiNicolaVO.com.
Cool. Well, we
Like,
will
that's
keep
everything.
we'll keep
Oh,
all
and I have
the
my own podcast
Yes,
at
yes.
Dress Down Pod on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music and everywhere else.
So what is that, gaming centered? What's kind of the overall like theme of your podcast?
Well, at first it was started as a cosplay podcast where it was all about cosplay. There were tips. There was how everybody got started. It's a guest interview style podcast similar to yours. So, I interview people who do cosplay, but then it started to expand as I started to ask people more adjacent to the world of cosplay, still in content creation. Maybe they're anime creators, but they don't cosplay. I feel like it's still in the realm of the same, yeah, the same stuff. So we've been branching out a little bit to just pop culture nerdy stuff in general, but a lot of it is how everybody's journey is, like how they got started, where they how they ended up where they are now. And then I always try to do some sort of like tips segment where people talk about how to what their like sewing tips are or their armor tips or if they do anime content, their content creation tips or something like that. So a little bit of education, a little bit of fun, I'd say.
Cool. It's a little bit of everything. Awesome. Well, we will keep all of those linked below, so everybody can check out and keep up with all of your adventures. But thank you for taking the time tonight, and we hope to see you at a con down the road. Of
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
course.